This morning, folks, we're going to be talking about the unity in the body of Christ. We've been talking about the unity in Christ, which we know that as the last few weeks, we've talked about how we are no longer Jew or Gentile. We're one in Christ, and that we are, no matter whether we were circumcised or uncircumcised, we were all the same. No matter what was happening, we are now all equal in God's eyes. So we look at the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we are sitting right here. This is the body of Christ, the church. And as we look at the body of Christ, there's many things that keeps us together, many things that keeps us unified. And there's many things that will destroy a body of Christ. And this morning, as we take a look at the scripture reading, I want you just to think about what Paul is telling us here. He is in prison, and so we know that he's a prisoner for the Lord, and I think he's written this this letter to the Ephesian church. I'm not a Bible scholar. I wished I was, but I believe it was about maybe his second or third trip that he wrote this. Brian says yes, he thinks so. And so we know that he is sitting there writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he will have it sent to them. So as he's thinking about them, he says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word, and we know that Paul is, he's sitting there in prison writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he is basically telling them, look, we have to be unified as a church. We have to stick together as a church. There's all kinds of things that causes us to bicker and fuss and fight like little kids, but you can't do that. You have to be united under one Spirit, one God. And that is where we're at this morning, folks. We are seeing so much of people throughout this whole world, throughout the universe, everywhere. people are not united in Christ anymore. We argue about the baptism. We argue about the doctrine of the church. We argue about so much stuff. And we become at each other's throat. We just, this little tidbits of stuff that we argue about. We see it all the time. We hear about it all the time. You'll hear of a church that's doing really well, growing, making disciples for Christ, doing everything that they should, and all at once, bam, something happens, and they're busted up, and it's no more. It's just a remnant. Folks, there's many things that we know and see each and every day that causes churches to split up. We just read the unity of Christ, and it tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. So, and He is, and it says, who is over all, in all, living through all. So if there's one God in all, over everything, watching over us, over everything, when we see that a church is not unified anymore, when we see that the church is coming apart at the seams, I just stop and ask myself sometimes, what makes people, what makes even me, sometimes what makes even me think it's more about me than it is about Christ? Why in the world don't we go to our neighbor, our sister, our brother? Why in the world don't we love on them? Maybe they're mad at you about something. Maybe they're, you know, they got something going on. Put your arm around them. Love on them and tell them, in Christ, I still love you. You are my brother. You are my sister. And this is what Paul was saying. We have to make allowance for everyone's faults. It says, make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Not maybe for them, but for Christ. We make allowances. We got to be humble, gentle, patient. And folks, when we are humble, when we humble ourselves to where it's not about Mike, it's about someone else, it's about y'all, it's not about me, it's not about what I like or what I want or what I'd like to see done, it's about Christ. Y'all might be more like Christ than I ever thought about being, but I might still like to do what Mike likes to do, and therefore, I make it about myself. But he says to make allowances, understand these people, try to understand these people, and then, because of the love you have for Jesus Christ, you will be able to love each other. Isn't that wonderful that through that one Spirit that He allows us to have this special gift of love? And He says also in verse 7 that each one of us is given a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that's why the Scripture says that He ascended to the heights and He led the crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. And it says, notice that as He had ascended also, He descended. He come down here to us, a lowly world like us, and He lived with us for some 33 years. And He lived with us, and He taught us, and He showed us, and He left us with the gospel. Isn't that the most loving thing that He could have ever done? Made Himself human to come and to be with us? We're so corrupt. We're so messed up. Why in the world would He want to come down here and be with us? We're not going to get it anyway. We're not going to be able to grasp it. But yet, that's what He done. And then He placed Himself upon the cross as it's Communion Sunday. Folks, it is, to me, it's the best Sunday of all the month is Communion Sunday. You see the body. You see the blood of Christ. That's where He placed Himself on that cross and shed His blood for our sins. The love that He had for us. And He wanted the Ephesian church to know this. He wanted them to understand that this is real, folks. This is for real. This all has happened because Christ loved you and He loves us the very same way that He loved this church. And Paul is saying to them, let me tell you something. Don't get all caught up in what's going on around you. Don't get caught up in all the drama of your neighbors. Stay focused on Christ, the unity in the body of Christ. That's what he's trying to tell us. And so as he's telling you that you're unified under one Spirit, one God, one Father, he's telling you that. And he's also given us a fact that he's just told us. You, everyone, have been handed a special gift. Now, it took me a long time, folks, to figure out that he'd give every one of us a special gift. And I still struggle with the fact that he'd give me any kind of gift, because I look around and I see all kinds of people around me, especially pastors. I see pastors everywhere that are full of gifts. I might have one. I might claim one, but because he says he give us all one. But folks, I struggle with having, I guess, the confidence that I should have in the Lord, because it's through his Holy Spirit that he gives me the gift to be able to stand here and to speak to you. It's not anything that I've come up with. It is what little gift it is. It is his gift that he's given to me. It's not anything of mine. And so he's given each one of us a gift. Have you figured out what your gift is yet? Do you realize your gift? Do you notice your gift? Do you want to notice your gift? I'm pretty good where I'm at, you know. I think I told y'all that story about this boy that I knew at McKenzie. He just passed away just like that one day. But he kept a bottle of oil in his pocket, and he was anointing everybody and praying over them. And one night we were coming back from a church gathering, and we were in the van, and this little girl was in there. She's about 4 or 5, and he said, "Would you like for me to anoint you and pray over you, hon?" And because he had been, as we going down the road, anointing everybody, praying over everybody, you know. And she said, oh no, I'm good. I'm good." And she was real still. She didn't want to have oil put on her and be prayed over. But she didn't know. She didn't understand. But folks, that's the way we are. That's the very way we are with Jesus and with Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're good. We're good. I'm good right where I'm at. I don't need to be anointed. I don't need to be prayed over. I don't need oil placed upon me. I don't need you just to pray for me. I'm good. Don't waste your time on me. Pray for somebody else. I need to be prayed for every day. Every day. Because it is y'all, the church, praying for me and for Brian that gives us the opportunity to stand here before y'all. It's not anything we do. It's not anything we do. It's God working through us. It's God working through the worship team. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and he puts all this together. And you think, well, we done all of this. We did, but we didn't. That's what you got to understand. It's the Holy Spirit that works within us. Excuse me. Now, as we have these gifts, there comes responsibility. And so when we see this responsibility to live into these gifts that he's given to us, then we take this responsibility, and what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Randall was telling me this morning that Peyton, he's been in church out here, and out here in the hall. And Peyton was at Walmart sitting in the car with Randall, and Peyton rolled the window down, and there was a lady walking by, and he said, "You want me to tell you about God? You want me to tell you about Grace Life Church? We meet at the theater." And, of course, the lady didn't want to hear it. But Peyton's doing his part. He's trying to tell people what he's doing. Peyton has a gift of speaking to others. So he's trying to do what God has asked him. He said, "That's what they teach us in church that we're supposed to do." And so he's listening. He's paying attention. And he's just yay big. He also told Randall he's going to preach one Sunday. And Randall asked him if it was going to be this Sunday, and he said, "No, he's going to let Mike preach this Sunday." But isn't that awesome, folks, that this little man, this little bitty kid, is in thinking about God at Walmart, trying to tell people about Grace Life and God, and to come to church and visit and to know so that they can know God. And you know, we talk about gifts and responsibility, and here we see a little kid that shines a lot greater than we do. So what is your gift? What is your responsibility? And I'm going to tell you, folks, God, it tells us right here, the responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And it tells us this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So it tells us that we're no longer like children. We're not immature like children. We act like children, don't we? Because when things don't go our way, the first thing we do is we go to complaining. You know, well, I don't much like the way that deal is. I believe we, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll go down the road down here and see what they're doing for a week or two and see if they suit me any better. That's the way we do, folks. We are tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. So many times we are so ungrounded. We're just loose. We're just like a leaf as you're seeing them fall and the wind blow them around. That's the way we are as Christians. We got our ears open for something that's going to tickle it and something that we're going to like better than what we're hearing. And today we are hearing and seeing false teachings every day. And what are we doing? We're eating it up. We're eating it up. It's just like eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So good. Give me another one. Make me another one. That's what we do with this word that is not correct. We are seeing it every day being taught everywhere. The word is being loose. They've loosened it up to where it satisfies your ears and it satisfies your inner part a lot better than what Mike's going to tell you at Grace Life. And so I'm going to go over here and listen to what they got to say about the word because it's loose. It fits me a whole lot better. It's okay. They tell me it's okay for everything that I'm doing, everything that I want to do. And therefore, we jump right in the truck to head to see what they got to say about it. And it does sound good. It sounds good, but it's not true. It's not true, folks. And Paul was saying that you have to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. So when you know that the word is not true, that they're speaking to you, you have to tell the people, folks, I know that this is not true, or I know the way you're interpreting this word is not the way that you need to be hearing it. You have to speak the truth to lots of people about lots of different things. You know, you ever had anybody speak the truth to you about what's going on in your life that you're not liking? You're thinking you're good. You're thinking everything's perfect. Everything's lovely. And somebody comes by and says, Mike, I want to talk to you just a minute. I want to speak the truth to you. You ever had anybody do you that way? Well, I have. And the first time it happened was probably about, I don't know, it was about a year after Bill Clinton was elected. I'll just tell you, because, I mean, the Lord knows. And this guy come to me and he said, Mike, he said, you need to stop speaking what you're speaking because you don't know all the 100% about everything. And he said, maybe, just maybe, you know, you could be incorrect about some things. And I said, well, possibly. And he said, but I'm going to tell you, he said, you're going to let Bill Clinton send you to hell because you hate him so bad. I stopped and I thought about that and I said, you know what? I don't like him. I didn't realize that I hated him that bad, but maybe it showed to others that I did. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to stop, back up, and rethink how I approached that matter. And so that was the first time that I had anybody pull me aside. And I wasn't preaching then. But that was the first time I had anybody pull me aside and talk to me about speaking about anyone else, because there's a good possibility that I was probably a worse sinner than Bill Clinton. And that is true, very much true. But it's a whole lot easier for me to talk about Bill Clinton than it was about Mike. And a whole lot easier for me to talk about him and what he does than it is to tell you what I'm doing. Isn't that the way we do? That's the way we live, folks, as Christians. That's the way we live. If we don't like somebody, it's pretty easy to talk about them. It's pretty easy to show your dislike for them. It's pretty easy to show them, I'm not having anything to do with that bunch. I'm not fooling with that guy. I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. But what would it take if we pray for them? If we pray for them. You know, folks, there's so many things and on both sides of the aisle I don't like today in the politics, but I try to pray for them, because there's not one thing I can do for them. There's not one thing you're going to do for them. Brian's going to do for them or anyone else. But God can. God can. And he can change this situation. And so it's not that it needs to be Mike's way, Mike's will, is it? What does he teach us? That it be his will, his way, instead of mine. You see, folks, we become just like leaves being blown in the wind in the fall of the year. We are not grounded in Christ. When we are grounded in Christ, we not only pray for those that we do not know or understand how they are living and how they're making it. In our eyes, they're lost, but we don't want to pray for them. And we sure, if we had the opportunity, we surely don't want to go over and ask if they would, it might be your neighbor, it might be somebody right down the road or the street from you. Ask them if they need some help with something. Would they like to just sit down on the porch and have a cup of coffee or a glass of tea? Invite them to stop by your house? That's not going to happen, is it? No, we're not going to do that. Because it's not anybody that I want to spend time with. I know I love that fella, but I sure don't like him. Isn't that what we say? It's a good thing I love him, because I sure don't like him. And I sure don't want him stopping and drinking tea and coffee with me. You just go on down the road, brother. We'll be good. That's what we all do, folks. Every one of us. We find so many faults with so many things. So as we come to the communion table today, that brings us to where we know that Christ is head of the body, head of the church. And as we come to the communion table, we know that Christ, it tells us that we are to examine ourselves as we take and partake in the body and the blood of Christ. He died for our sins, folks. He died for you and he died for me. But he also tells us that we need to examine our own self, our own inner self. We need to realize how serious this was. This is not something that we just do for Sunday. It's not something that we take lightly. It's very, very serious, because Jesus said on the Last Supper, that night of the Last Supper, this is my body. And this is my blood. As often as you take it and eat of it and drink of it, do it knowing that I died for you and for me. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come. We thank you and we praise you so, so much, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Father, just the thought of sending your Son to die for our sin is just above me. Is I don't have that capability of knowing or thinking that way. But Father, we know that you loved us that much. And we know that Jesus loved us because he died upon that cross. And so as we come today, Father, we pray that you let this bread and this wine, this juice, be the body and the blood of Christ for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for the opportunity to come to the table. And we ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen.